How was your free time? Anybody up for broom hockey tonight? Is that that's happening? All right. Woo! Did somebody say they love me? Well, you know, isn't that such an easy thing to say? I'll put that on the back burner. Penelope Johnson, thank you. I've been called worse. So, hey, you guys, turn to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start there, but then we'll go to a couple books before that. But 1 John chapter 1, if you would. You think God's been working with you guys this week? This weekend? I know that's true for any of us that have said, God, honestly went, God, will you just help me grow this weekend? I want to either, if you're real, I want to know you. If you're, if we're really in relationship, I want to see the blind spots that I have, and I want to be able to grow. And I truly believe that you guys are taking some things home tomorrow to grow in your Christian life. And this morning we talked about, yesterday we talked about community with God and how to get in community with Him. And again, somebody said new life, but man, some of you are in community with God for the first time in 24 hours. I mean, that's how long you've been in community with God. And for some of us, we've been in community for a lot longer. And then this morning, we reminded ourselves that is it just about my relationship with God and God's relationship with me? Is that all it's about? No, it's about our relationship with who? With each other in the body of Christ. It's not just me being dependent on God. It's us being interdependent, like interlocked, dependent upon God. We're all brothers and sisters. He's the one and only Father to all of us. We are all meant to be in this community. And so, man, I know some of you were really hit with, hey, how do we make this a healthy community? How do we walk like Jesus would want us to walk? How do we become one like God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one? I really see some seriousness from you guys. And so tonight I just want to just touch on another aspect of how do we make sure that we're in healthy community with each other. And I want to challenge you. I think this morning was challenging for some of you. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be challenging for you tonight. It's very challenging for me. And I want to address it first by just saying, hey, what is this? What keeps us from having healthy community? Is there some specific thing that might keep us from that? And I just wanted to go back to, let's just kind of take one step back to not make it so difficult. What is the one thing that affects and keeps us out of community with God? One little word. Sin. What do you think might be the main thing that keeps us out of community with each other with God? Sin. Now, it comes in a whole lot of fashions. It comes in a whole lot of ways. But when it comes down to it, it's sin. Sin's always the problem. Sin continues to be the problem. Now that you're a child of God, if you sin, you are not out of relationship with God. He will never unadopt you. He will never turn you aside. But your relationship with your Father, who will always be your Father, is affected. It's not healthy, and it's not going to be healthy until you deal with that sin with Him. So let's just start with there, like, okay, if that's the problem, what I need to be aware of, and I need to always be looking at, hey, what do I need to be repentant of? What do I need to continue to confess to God so that my relationship with Him is what it needs to be and along with everybody else? Remember that your relationship or your who you are as a child of God, it is very private. I mean, sorry, very personal, but it is not private. What if, this is crazy, what if that also applies to your confession of sin? When I think about when I sin and I need to confess it or repent, do you know who I think of? Me and who? God. God and me. I don't know how much I actually think about me and you. But maybe I should think about it more. Let me show you this just to start off, because this is where I go to and I go, this is about me and God. Look what it says. In 1 John 1:9, maybe some of you know this verse. I learned it when I was a little kid. Everything else, it was like one of these verses you memorize and stuff. But in, in church, but it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Anybody familiar with that verse? Maybe one translation or another. Maybe you're, oh yeah, if we confess our sins, he cleanses us from all sin and, you know, unrighteousness. Oh, that's fantastic. And we look at the word confess. By the way, confess doesn't just mean, okay, God, I sin. The word confess means to agree with. You're in agreement with somebody. That's what the word confess means. We are in the agreement. We're on the same page. If I'm confessing my sin to God with God, that means I'm going to look at this sin the same way God looks at it, right? Wow. How does God look at sin? It's evil. It's destructive. What does all sin lead to, you guys? All sin leads to death. There's not some sin that's worse than other sin. There's not some sin that's better than other sin. Sometimes we think of that way. Well, that's a really bad way to live. That's a really bad sin to continue to live in. But this one isn't quite as bad over here. I mean, it's bad, but it's not as bad. I mean, gossiping isn't as bad as murder, you know. But all of it leads to death. All of it. What if we actually believe that, and as we're confessing to God, God, I agree with you that this sin that I'm doing, that I've been fooling myself, thinking that it's giving me life, it's giving me death. It deserves your wrath. It is only going to bring destruction. It's a really big deal. That's true confession. I want to turn away from this. I do not want to live in this way anymore. Oh, God, this is what I see. I'm going to look at it the same way you do. That's confession. When we actually truly, truly say to God, this is sin. This is a really big deal. This is all my fault. I want to turn away from this. That's when the truth of this verse comes to be. He forgives that sin and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You think, man, how can he do that? Why would he do that? Because, again, of Jesus' work. Because Jesus went to the cross and took on the wrath of God and all the destructiveness of that sin for that sin too, even before you committed it. If we would just go to him and humbly go to him, he says, come on back in. Don't be stubborn. Don't keep wanting to live in it. Don't keep fooling yourself about it. Just come back, be humble, and say, this is bad. I blew it. This is it. And then you're forgiven. Now, when I look at that verse, the only two people in that verse is me and God. Do you see that? And God and me. So that's it. That's it. I don't need to come to another person and confess to them in order to get forgiveness from God. Now, there's maybe some people who actually believe that. I don't know. But that's not what God's word says. In order for me and you to have forgiveness and be able to move on from that sin, and now it's separate, it's gone, and now we can go on and true relationship back in the full relationship with God is to actually confess it to God. I don't have to confess it to a certain other person in order for me to get forgiveness. But what if there's another reason to confess it to another person? What if there's another reason that we, maybe some of us, have been missing because we've just kept this sin in our life incredibly private? Turn to James. It's a couple of books right before this, you guys. James chapter 5. So you got 1 and 2 Peter right before 1 John. Right before that is James, last chapter of James. James chapter 5. There's some pretty incredible words here. In chapter 5, 16... Verse 16, James is wrapping up the book. What else do I say? What do I want to leave people with as we're wrapping this book up so people won't forget this last kind of thing I want to talk about? And he says in verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to God. You got anybody there? What does it say? Does it say confess your sins to God? Yeah. Now, are you supposed to confess your sins to God? Yes, we just saw that. And you confess your sins to God to get what? Forgiveness. Restoration back into a healthy relationship to him. Why do we confess our sins to each other? Each other. I confess to you, you confess to me. Nobody's left out. It's each other. It's each person confessing sin to one another. And it says you do that and pray for each other. So you go, oh, I confess it to someone else so they can pray for me. Whoa, oh, so they can pray for me? I mean, and we're going to talk about that. Is that a big deal? Is it? Pray for each other so that you may be forgiven, healed. I confess my sin to God, and I am forgiven and restored in relationship with Him. Confessing our sin to one another. This is how God put it together. So the community would find strength in the community. That we confess it to each other so that we can pray for each other so that we will be healed. So you confess it to somebody else so they will pray for you. And when they pray for you, so that you can be healed. There's a difference between forgiveness and healed. Forgiveness is kind of like this. It's just a picture of my mind. That I cut myself open. I go to God and I say, man, God, this is a cut. Whatever, I'm just saying it's a cut. And then the forgiveness is, wow, there's a scab over it. Okay, now it's covered up. And then usually what happens is if it's a habit that I have, if it's a sin that I struggle with, do you know what eventually happens again? I do it again. I have the same problem again. How many times have you gone to God confessing the same kind of sin? Man, I got this anger problem. God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have blown up like that. I got this gossip problem. Man, I started talking about something. I shouldn't have done. I'm so critical in my thinking. I'm critical of other people. I'm prideful. I'm whatever that is, this certain behavior that I continue to do, whatever that is. How many of us go to God and we go, man, I'm sorry again. And sometimes we even wonder, is he going to forgive me again? I mean, how many times am I going to go to him? He's going to forgive. By the way, it's infinity. If it's true confession. But for some of us, aren't you kind of tired to keep going through that cycle? What if one thing you have missed, not to just be forgiven, but what if you could actually be healed and that thing could be covered up, scab over, and it doesn't keep on picking open again? What if it could actually be healed and you could actually have continual triumph over it? Don't you want that? I do. And he says one way to do it is to do this in community. The reason why you have brothers and sisters around you is to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed, not just forgiven. And the reason why is because, man, when we talk to each other, and we confess our sins to one another, somebody else who is also a follower of Jesus, and they understand how important it is to pray for each other, it's the prayer that the other person is praying for you now that's contributing to you being not only forgiven, but healed. Look what he says. He says that you'll be healed. And he just says it. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective to help heal. Getting stuff out of the darkness, you guys, and some of us, we got stuff hidden, man. And it's because, I get it, it's because it's ugly. I feel guilty about it. I feel shame about it. It's like, oh, man, I don't want to, this is not going to make me look good. But if you bring it out to light, if you have enough just humility and courage to get it out to the light and have somebody else look at it too and other people look at it too and be able to pray for you about it, I'm serious. That is one huge step. And not only continuing to be forgiven as you confess it to God, but you might find that those people, because now you're not dealing with it alone, you might start getting healed. And he says a prayer of a righteous person. You go, oh, righteous person. Where am I going to find a righteous person? Look, every single person who's a follower of Jesus, you've been made righteous again. Remember that you're not a slave of sin anymore. He's saying these other people that are simply really along your side, people that are mature with you and going, yeah, I'm with you. Not somebody who, when you tell them that you've sinned, they laugh at you and say, well, man, why are you telling me this? But it's people, and let's just do this with each other. So when somebody confesses sin to you, take it seriously. And he says this, he just gives an example of what, because it says you do it with each other. It's not just certain people you go to have pray for you, with each other. We should all be this way. And he says in verse 17, Elijah was a human being. I don't know, the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament, he wasn't anything special. You think, well, he was a prophet. He was just a human being. He was just a person just like the rest of us, even as we are. They're not any better or worse than any of the rest of us. And it says, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I'm not saying that if we pray that it doesn't rain, it's not going to rain. I'm not saying that if we pray that it is going to rain, that it's going to rain. That's not his point here. He's saying that Elijah was just a normal human being, but do you see how powerful and effective his prayer was? Just like you. And just like the person sitting next to you, just like the other people in your cabin, and the other people in your group, and the other people in your church, though those people, the key is that he says earnestly prayed. If they earnestly pray, if you would be willing to earnestly pray for someone else, your prayer for that person is powerful and effective. And their prayer for you is powerful and effective. We just need to be earnest. Really care about the other person, that we're honestly really praying for them. Not going, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. Hey, man, I'll pray for you. And you never really do anything. But you were going, no, let's pray. Right here, right now, let's pray for each other. Let's earnestly beg God to give you victory. Not just forgiveness, but give you victory over this. How can I help too? You just do that with each other. This is huge, guys, but this is kind of scary because there's things hidden. Here's my thing, you guys. If I could think of what was the hardest thing for me to actually bring out into the light, to actually confess to someone else so that I would not just continue to be forgiven but be healed, to start a healing process, man, it was really tough for me to tell someone else about my struggle with pornography. Really hard. It was ugly. I'm ashamed of it. And I remember as I struggled through the pornography and I continued to just be enslaved to it. That's what sin does, enslaves you. It just continues to bring death when I think it's going to bring me life and then I realize it's not. I mean, it's just horrible just going over this cycle. Okay, now I'm going to have victory. Oh, no. Okay, that's the last time. Oh, that's it. That's it. Okay, I'm just going to keep this between me and God because I don't want anybody else to know about this. This is embarrassing. I don't want that. But God, I was forgiven every single time. Every time. That I honestly went to him and said, this is ugly. I know it. I'm going to look at it the way you do. I know it's bringing death. I know that. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to turn away from it. But I was not being healed. And it was amazing. I'm kicking myself because it took so long for me to actually believe this. When I finally, with my heart racing, told someone else of my struggle and my sin of lust and pornography. I told my wife. She didn't catch me. I'm done. I just went, I'm done. And I brought it out. And I went to my elders. Brought it out. Went to a friend's. I brought it out. And I don't even know how I can explain it, you guys, but I will tell you this. It was at that moment that were my first steps of not continually falling in it. It was really weird. And when I did, I confessed it again. Not just to God, but to someone else. And it's not like I never, ever, ever fell into lust or into pornography after that. I did. But man, I kept those things short, like on a short leash. And I brought it out. And then I can't believe the victory that I never thought I could have victory in that area. I never thought I could. But I'm telling you from my own testimony, what makes you be able to do that, what's included in doing that, is putting it out on the table. For someone else who loves you to be able to see it, talk to you about it, and pray earnestly for you. It's not just your thing to carry. Crazy. You guys, I don't know what it is in your life. It could be something like that. It's something you do. Remember, sin is something you do, say, think. But some of us, we're going, man, here's the thing that I just keep going back to, the way I speak, the way I talk. I am a gossip. I am critical. I don't know why I speak the way that I do. But it's not, I know it's not glorifying to God, and I keep going back to that. It might be this is a behavior that I keep going back to, and it just keeps going. But I'm trying to deal with it. I'm trying to go to God with it. I just really want to. It might be the way you think. You just know you're prideful. You know you're critical in your thinking. You know that you maybe are unloving at times, and you want people to know these horrible thoughts in your head that you continue to struggle with. But you guys, if somebody came to you and asked you to pray for them and told you a deep, dark thing, would you respect them and be impressed by them? Would you actually feel honored? I can't believe you're telling me this. I think you would. So do we all know that we would all feel that way? And we would all accept the other person? And we would all say, wow, me too? Because whatever somebody's confessing to you, it is not any better or worse than anything you struggle with. And vice versa. We got to stop buying the lie that Satan is putting in us. Just keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. It's another lie that we bought. That's keeping us from being healed. Guys, if somebody doesn't come to you and you actually find out that there's sin in the life, what do we do then? Do we just wait for somebody to confess? You know what? Because as brothers and sisters, if God reveals something to you about somebody else, and maybe they don't even realize that the way that they're thinking or speaking or the acting or whatever else, they don't even realize that it is sin. This is another way that we keep each other accountable, is that, yeah, we confess to each other, but then if there's something that God brings you aware of someone else, a brother or sister that's in sin, look what he says right after that. He says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Sometimes I think when we look at someone else and they're struggling with something, I think we bought into this thing, well, you know, I'm not supposed to be judging them. And I'm like, you're not judging them. You're bringing in what God's word says about how to live life. You love them. Because you know, what does sin always bring? Death. Are they your friend? Are they somebody else, your brother or sister that you love? Then don't buy the lie, then you don't say something. By the truth that you do say something. Because you love them. And you want to cover a multitude of sins. Remember, once it's brought out, that's when healing can begin. And that multitude of sins, so it doesn't multiply and multiply and multiply. You're going, I want to help you too. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've been seeing this in your life, please don't tell them. I can't believe it. It's my life. Leave me alone. Don't judge me, whatever. They love you. They love you. Thank you. I know. Will you pray? Pray for me? Go back to Galatians. I just want to leave you guys with this, with Galatians. Another few books before that. Galatians chapter 6. This is how Paul puts it in this way. Galatians chapter 6. Again, if you want to write it down, you can too, but Galatians 6, I'm just going to read the first couple of verses. Is this hard to hear? I would say yes. But I think deep down, you know this is actually really good to hear. I think deep down, some of you are going, you mean there's actually hope that I can actually have victory over this? The way that I speak, the way that I think, the way that I'm doing things, I can actually have victory? Yeah, don't keep it to yourself. Have victory over it, and you're going to be going, man, we're having victory together. Here's what it says in chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The purpose, the plan that Jesus Christ has for us is to actually talk to each other about sin in each other's lives. And to pray for one another. And he says here, you do it gently. So if you see sin in someone else's life, it is not, hey man, just think about how you'd want to take it. That's all. Just think about how you'd want it. Gently. If you're going to someone else, realize that they are no worse than you, better than you. Your sin is just as horrible as theirs. Maybe actually in confronting them, you say, man, and actually, you know what? While we're talking about it, here's what I struggle with too. I'm seeing this in you. I just love you. We need to talk about this. I want you to live a better life. And you know what? Let's just do this together. And he says, you carry each other's burdens. You say, man, you don't have to deal with this alone. You guys already know the picture of that. Something's really heavy. One person tries to pick it up. You can't pick it up. But you get four or five people, and suddenly you could do something that not any one of you could do alone. Right? Let's love each other enough and recognize the love for other people they have for us. We got to drop our defenses. I get very defensive. We got to drop the defenses. I'm always talking to my wife. I'm praying to my wife, with my wife all the time. I know that I have, it's like I have this shield that I have right next to me, and I just pick it up when somebody confronts me about something and I don't like it, and I think, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. And I have a shield and I get defensive. And I keep praying, God, will you keep me from raising my shield? Just keep me from it. Let me be humble enough that when somebody talks to me about something, that I know that they're loving me and they want to pray for me. And I want to do the same for them. And we are going to carry not any of our burdens alone. We're going to show other people what our burdens are. And we're going to talk to other people when we see them struggling and dying under a burden that they're carrying. This is a whole nother step, isn't it, in community? But that's my prayer for you guys. And even right now, as you guys are going to be leaving, and put up the so what questions even right now. You guys are going to go over the so what questions, leaders, you can get up. I'm going to ask, and you don't have to do this, it's not have to, but I want to give you a chance to do this over the next 45 minutes, that you would put this specific thing into practice. And that is, you would think even right now, ooh, what is the way that I think? Those thoughts I have, the way that I speak at times, this thing that I keep going back and doing and behaving in this way, what have I been trying to deal with on my own? That you can confess to the other people who love you in your group and say, here it is. And for the rest of us to say, okay, let's carry this burden with you. And let's help each other and pray earnestly for each other. Well, you just started that over this next 45 minutes. Practice that. But I got to tell you something. It's got to start with somebody. Somebody's got to be the first one to say, here it is. And I think you're going to experience something over the next 45 minutes. I actually think you're going to go, whoa, I just got a taste of healing, not just forgiveness. I really think that's going to happen. And you're going to grow even deeper together with each other. God, I just pray as we leave here and we have an incredible time, just the next 45 minutes or even after that. Who cares about broom hockey? Whatever, God, this is way more important than anything. God, that we would as a group, with our cabins or our group or church, whatever it is, that we would go, okay, let's practice this thing that God tells us about how not only to be forgiven of our sins, but to actually experience healing and victory and growth. And God, that we would realize that your plan has been that we would do this together and that we would stop buying these lies that Satan keeps putting in our head. No, it's private. Keep it to yourself. Don't let it out. God, please rebuke the enemy now. that we wouldn't believe the lies. And we do something that's maybe scary, humbling, but deep down we know is how we're supposed to be in the body of Christ. That's my prayer, God. In the name of your Son, who's the head, who's given us all the love and forgiveness to begin with. Oh, God, we thank you and thank him. In his name we pray. Amen.